Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Mark Reardon Show.
He's a bully with $17 million in a security detail.
Quit the tough guy act. You know where to find me. Any place, cowboy.
It's common sense. You know, some things are law, and I'm all in favor of it. And some things are common sense.
And I heard a boom in my whole house shook.
This is the Reardon Roundtable.
All right, well, we're starting a little disheveled here because I'm... don't even have a chair right now, Sue Thomas. And you and Jane are like gossiping like, you know, old ladies at a bingo hall
about
or something
you.
Like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all about
and,
you.
And, you know, there are things in the works. That's all you need
Mark,
to know.
I'll give you my chair.
Thank you, Nick Schwer. Let's introduce the panel. It's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday. We just got into the studio late, and then Nick and I were talking about dogs, important things that
like
we
dogs.
Had to share. You know, maybe the most stunning thing this afternoon is Jeff Smith is on time.
Wow.
Can I just say that?
He's getting it from all sides. I'm starting to feel like Jeff Smith is a victim.
Jeff and Jane are matching today.
We are.
Well, just good luck.
Jeff, nice I think what thing. He meant to say was, thanks for coming in.
Right. Thanks for volunteering.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Isn't that lovely?
Well, we got you a chair, Mark.
All right.
Not the right one.
No, but...
I don't understand. This is a great way to start the show, but what in the hell happens to the stupid chairs from this studio?
Jane has your chair. You're sitting on that one.
How did I get your chair?
Just because...
Your chair was there.
Okay, you're going to have to switch out with me, Jane, because I have
now?
A comfortability factor. At least at the first
round
break.
Musical chairs today.
I usually sit in the catapult.
Tell the producers who are scrambling... that Jane has my chair.
It's okay. Everything's
what a
fine.
Way to start off the roundtable this afternoon. My goodness, I apologize for that. Let's get right to it. Jane is here. Welcome back. You were off last week. How are you?
Good. Family wedding, and it was lovely.
Yeah,
that's
well,
awesome.
I'm glad that you're back. We have a very important show today as we take people into the Labor Day weekend. Former State Senator Jeff Smith is not only here, but on time this afternoon.
Love
How
it.
Are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm
Abused.
Good. Good to see you. And State Senator Nick Schwer. I haven't seen you in a while, Nick, so it's good to see you as well.
Likewise.
Let me start with you, Nick, and the interview last night, which was almost as awkward as the way that I started the show here this afternoon.
But this was entertaining. The way that we started today was at least fun.
Well, here I was about 24 hours ago. We were doing the show yesterday, and CNN started kind of leaking these clips. And the first one was just so baffling because, and it ended up being, I guess, the first question that Dana Bash asked her last night, which was, you know, what would you do on your first day in office? And she sort of meandered all over the place. It was a little confusing, but that's the Kamala we know and love, isn't it?
Well, she's been in office for 3.5 years. She's been part of this administration. And, you know, you've got these people on social media saying that Republicans are trying to tether her to this administration. She's part of it. It's the Biden-Harris administration.
I know. I love that. That was a Politico headline trying to tether her. Wait a second. She's the vice president. Yes,
well,
exactly.
Well, when they're not changing headlines, the crazy media out there is actually trying to defend Kamala being in office for 3.5 years and not doing a single thing. So, you know, all of these different things, whether it's the price gouging or she says price gauging, getting online with the border wall now or the no tax on tips. None of this stuff has been implemented for 3.5 years. So anything that she's coming up with, I have no faith that that is going to save this this economy.
Well, what I think happened last night is I think Kamala did a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to her supporters on the far left and said, look, I got you. When we win this thing, we're going right back to where our policies were because she said her values haven't changed. Now, I did this. I actually watched this interview, Jeff, in two different ways. I'm being serious here. I listened to the clips last night. I was watching the Mizzou game. So a lot of the clips were being fed out on Twitter, and I thought a lot of them were awkward. Now, I rewatched it this morning. I watched the entire interview, you know, from start to finish. I think it did play a little differently when you watch the whole thing. And and I can't believe I'm even saying this, but she didn't come off as awful as she does if you isolate the clips. But I don't know, in
no
the
one
end,
does
it, well, right, that's
well, and it's
probably
been highly
true.
Edited. I mean, it was pre-recorded, and only we got 18 minutes. Let's see the entire tape.
I think it was 26 minutes altogether. But my point is that in the end, this isn't probably too disastrous for Kamala Harris. The people that didn't like it, the people that are complaining and thought it was awkward like me, we're not voting for Kamala Harris anyway. The rest of the headlines is, well, she just did okay. She got a passing grade. So what's your takeaway?
So three things real quick. So I'll try to go quickly. Number one, for my friend Nick, you're right. She does mispronounce it. It is price gouging and not price gauging. But you mispronounce her name. So it, like almost 99% of right wing people
Kamala.
Do. It's
is that right?
Kamala.
Kamala. Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Remember, she did the little lesson.
She says
with
it
all
both
the kids
ways,
at the
doesn't
convention.
She?
Oh, yeah. She said it for so many years.
Fourth graders,
like
said,
the WWF
just say,
wrestler.
Just say, comma, like a comma,
comma
in a sentence,
la.
And then say, la.
Oh, that's an easy one. I
that's
like that.
Yeah,
thank you
so,
for helping us
you know,
out with
I'm,
that.
I'm
it's not Kamila.
I do.
That's a, you know, looking at her positions, I thought it was Kamila.
Yeah. No. That's a good one, sure. I like that.
I actually think comma chameleon would have been better. I thought Trump was going to go there, but he didn't. But anyway.
Kamila.
Let me, two other things super quick. You said, but, you know, that was her administration. We all know, I think, FDR's first vice president, before he picked Truman, he famously, you know, was dropped from the ticket and he was asked about it. He said, you know, the vice presidency is not worth a warm bucket of spit. Vice presidents are not the people who are leading an administration. Yes, she was part of it, but it certainly wasn't like her policies, right? She is going to have to answer for it. I was glad she did an interview. I thought she should have done one earlier. Mm-hmm. As far as how did it go, some people who are in the quote-unquote K-hive are going to say she was incredible. A lot of people on the right are going to say she was horrible. I agree with you, Mark. She was fine. She wasn't great. She was passable. There wasn't the one moment that the right wanted to say, what a huge gaffe. And there wasn't any like great triumphant moments either. It was okay. Mm-hmm. And she should be doing more of them because the more you build up and you don't do something, the more people pay attention when you finally do. So I think, you know.
And you get better.
And you
practice
get better.
Does tend to
I
make
I do give her credit
practice.
Because I didn't see her hand in the back of Tim Walz moving his mouth. So I was surprised by what the hell was his purpose there last night? Can anyone tell me that?
Well, I mean, they do it all the time. I mean, there isn't a single campaign where they don't sit with their vice presidential candidate and do an interview.
But the
I mean,
first
that's,
interview
yeah, not the
after...
first interview.
I mean,
yeah,
it,
but
it doesn't
know.
Matter. That's not even relevant. I mean, so they did it. They did their deal. I
but
mean,
my
I'm,
point
I'm
is,
like...
he didn't have a whole lot to say. Say
no.
last night.
Yeah, I mean, she did 90% of the talking.
Right.
But for the people who were like, I mean, I don't think the pundits, the conservative pundits, do their side a service when they spend the weeks leading up to these things saying, she's a low IQ individual. She's an idiot. Because just,
no, she slept her way there. That's my personal favorite, calling her a triumph.
Because then the bar is so low that all she needs to do is like be decent, like she was last night. And people don't get what they had kind of sold people that how bad she was going to be, which she wasn't. And she isn't. She's fine.
Well,
she's not the best speaker in the Democratic Party. Pete Buttigieg is a lot better, you know, doing media. Gavin Newsom is better doing media. There are Democrats who are better, but she's the nominee and she's a hell of a lot better than the alternative.
Here is my friend Scott Jennings' take on CNN last night.
So at the beginning, when she's talking about Biden and their record, our screen said, this is called the Chyron, the headline at the bottom. It said, Harris stands by Biden administration economic record. She is making it clear that she will embrace and be a continuation of Biden's economic policy, his record, what they've done. She offered no remorse, no regrets, no introspection about anything they've done. She continued to blame inflation on this fantasy price gouging idea. She had no additional thoughts on the economic situation in the country or what they've done beyond just saying, Joe Biden and I have done a great job. Now, if I were the Trump people, I would be salivating over the idea that that's how they are going to run the race. I don't believe it's tenable.
All right.
I also thought it was interesting.
Well, unfortunately, that's where we have our thing is skipping into the audio. Sue, if you wouldn't mind addressing that with our producers, if you have just a second there, because you know what I'm talking about. But I guess the point that Jennings was trying to make, and look, and I'll kind of back off from that just a little bit, Nick, just because I agree with everything he said there. But again, I don't know that it really matters at this point. And now there's probably not going to be another, you know, interview before this debate. The debate maybe looms large, but again, I don't know if you underestimate. I like to say it like George W. Bush used to say it. If you underestimate her in that, because she could probably carry off, especially with the help of the ABC moderators, you know, a 90-minute debate or whatever it might be. So where is this race right now? We're approaching Labor Day. It's a little unconventional compared to past years because people are going to start voting next week.
Right. Yeah, I still think there's a lot of moderates out there that, you know, now that Kennedy's out of the race, I don't know what impact that's going to have. Now that he and others, Tulsi Gabbard, are backing Trump, I'm waiting for my favorite Democrat over here, Jane, to jump on the Trump train as well.
Yeah.
Any day now. But, you know, I think there's a lot of questions as to what policies is she going to implement. The current policies that we've heard of the price gouging and the money for first-time home buyers, we've already heard from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, that that's going to further decimate our economy. So I think a lot of people are waiting for this first debate, and hopefully there's going to be more than one.
So where exactly do you think she is on the policies? Because that they tried to bring that up last night, but she has flopped on so many of this. And Jane, right. We know that politicians do this, right? Even
yeah,
Jimmy
I mean,
Vance has changed his mind on she's moving on the center.
She's moving to the center.
In what
that's
way?
Not abnormal.
You
I mean, I do think that, you know, I mean, just like him, like abandoning abortion. I mean, I think that is more significant than anything she said.
But he's always had that policy. I mean, if you go back to the 80s and
the pro-lifers say he's the man. Oh, he delivered the Supreme Court to ban abortion.
Okay, but wait, in fairness
he
here,
flopped.
There was a lot of concern in 2016 from people on that side of the pro-lifers because they didn't think he would deliver on that. But he's never been as extreme as some of these other bills and measures in other states.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, paying for IVF, and I mean, he is not going to say what his position is on abortion.
I don't understand the controversy about IVF.
Neither
I'm
was.
Just going to tell you right now. I don't get why that's even an
issue
for anybody.
I think he should explain that too.
Because there are some extreme people on the right that think that is Satan's spawn, and they've tried to ban it. So, I mean, I'm glad
that
he said it.
That is a small number.
I mean, you know, I'm glad he said.
And it's
well,
a small...
he said it because you guys are out there lying about it.
Oh no,
we're
not
out there lying
about it. The IVF ban didn't come from the left, I can assure you.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are, you know, both parties do this to each other. We pick out the elected officials on
the craziest.
Far extreme of the other side. We hear them, they sponsor one piece of legislation, and then, you know, most Democrats in the Missouri State Senate, you know, and I don't know if you can find a single Democrat in the Missouri State Senate. I don't think you can who has ever said we've got to defund the police. But because Cori Bush, said it for years, the Missouri Democratic Party got tagged with that in the same way that happens with the Republican Party on IVF. So I think it's sort of a turnabout is fair
right.
play. Kind
well,
of
and
thing.
This is where the party, each party has to say that, you know, the extremist kooks don't represent all of us. Because I'm just telling you, I saw some great quotes today. People, I think most people are in the 70% who don't like the extreme on either side.
I would agree with that.
And so far,
might
so
be 80%.
And recently,
probably.
And I think, Jane, you know, you would agree with this. And I think you guys would, too, if we're honest about it. Democrats are doing a decent job this cycle kind of policing our own fringe. Right.
Like, well, we have taken out some trash for sure.
You know, Jamal Bowman in New York and Cori Bush here at home.
Yes.
And, you know, having a convention where we said, no, we're not going to give a pro Hamas person a platform. You know, we're going to have.
But if you go back and look at what Kamala Harris did, fundraising for people that were defunding the police and burning down cities across America, that's a concerning part to me is even though she may be trying to move to the center, history shows you where she's always been.
I think history shows you like a fair read of her kind of whole political career. I think shows you that the 2019 Kamala Harris was not the real Kamala Harris. She was running for president at a time that our party was moving left, especially on criminal justice issues. And she had been a prosecutor
was running from that.
And well, she Jane, was running don't... from that. And I think where she is now is actually close.
Well, Jane, presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think it's fair. And I think it's
I'm
fair
not willing to
say,
to take that risk.
Hey, where right. are you? And I agree.
Well, Jane,
I think
court,
it's fair.
You see it all the time. You lie to me then or you lie to me now. Which one is it? Either way, you're a liar.
You got to be careful because when you become a chameleon,
and the only
it is
thing
a legitimate
that Trump has
concern.
Moved away from, the only thing, you know, he's always been of that mindset where it's got to go back to the states. He's never supported a 6-week abortion ban. He probably wouldn't have supported our bill that we passed in 2019. But he used to be a Democrat. He used to be a Democrat at a time when there were pro-tax cuts, pro-gun, pro-labor, and now he's moving to the other side because the Democrats are going so far
left.
They
both have done it. But I do think it's fair to criticize both to say, hey, which one is the real you? But I will tell you, I do think that when people get into executive positions and having worked, you know, for a governor, you know...
First woman chief of staff?
No, I was the first female general counsel.
First and then female
I was,
general
yes,
counsel.
Yes, but okay. Then I was chief of staff. But, you know, you have to moderate if you think you're going to get a thing done. I mean, this realism coming, frankly, by both of them is probably more realistic. Donald Trump knows he can't do everything he wants to do in his crazy head because it's just not, you know, there is a reality here. Democracy is not absolute. And this idea that people are holding each other to these absolutes is kind of silly when it's all said and done.
I have a question for Nick and for Mark. I'm seeing a lot in my Twitter feed of like pro-life people that are really unhappy, you know, not just about his position, but kind of like rhetorically, he's really kind of borrowing a lot of the pro-choice frame and rhetoric about like women's reproductive rights, you know, that is really not kind of the lexicon of the pro-life movement. Do you think this is going to be consequential this fall?
I mean, are they going to leave?
And are you guys seeing that?
I think it's a rewind. I think it's a rewind back to 2016 when they tried this and we said, look, for me, I'm a 10th Amendment guy. I think it's a states' rights issue. And he delivered on that. He put individuals on the Supreme Court that believed it was a states' rights issue. And we kind of righted the wrong of Roe v. Wade by sending it back to the states. And I mean, he's come out saying, look, you're going to have states like Missouri and others that have banned abortion. You're going to have other states that go the opposite way. Leave it up to the states. That's what our founders intended.
But if your question is, will that manifest itself in any?
Seeing that the way I'm seeing it with pro-life evangelicals online saying this is a bridge too far, what he's saying right
sure.
now
I've
sounding
seen,
pro-choice.
I have seen some of those people say that this week on Twitter in reaction to this, but I think it's inconsequential, and I think that most people have you know moved on to a certain extent from that issue, and those who haven't have probably moved on in your direction. You know, they're leaning.
I mean,
toward
I think
that direction.
I think Missouri has a very good chance of passing.
Of course,
this
it
amendment.
Does. Yeah,
well,
and that's why
Republicans will vote for it.
I wish we could move forward and talk about other things
and solve it.
That's
thank you.
An issue that I've talked about for 4 decades, and quite honestly,
enough.
I'm pro-life, but good Lord, right? We got the Supreme Court making its decision. The state should handle it right now. We're coming back. Oh, top-notch panel this afternoon. Jane is back. She had last Friday off. Former State Senator Jeff Smith and current State Senator Nick Schroer is here. We may circle back to some national politics here in just a few minutes. But, Jane, let me get into St. Louis County politics with what happened with Dennis Hancock on the county council this week. And then there's more information about Sam Page's mood lighting. But where are we? Maybe kind of for the listeners that aren't dialed into what happened earlier this week with Dennis Hancock, explain that a little bit and then give us a current update.
So I think Dennis Hancock, attempted to hire his stepdaughter as his legislative assistant and was very clear about what it was. And he's been open that he didn't know about the anti-nepotism provision in the Constitution. But there is a lot of factual dispute as to whether she actually got hired. So Sam Page got Wesley Bell.
What's the dispute? Didn't she work there for a week?
See, that's a funny thing. The paperwork didn't come down until the day they went and got the quo warranto.
She wasn't paid.
She's okay, never correct. Been paid.
Right.
But see, when Sam volunteers, it's not employment.
Exactly.
But when Dennis Hancock's daughter works then and volunteers, that is employment. See, you haven't caught up, Nick. There's
well, she technically,
definitions.
I mean, let's face it, though. She technically was hired. And by the way, I understand.
Technically, I don't think you can say that. That's
okay.
There is a dispute about that.
Yeah, because
but
the paperwork
regardless.
Doesn't the paperwork say it was rejected?
Correct. But, yes, there is paperwork that said
that
it was
aside.
Rejected. That aside, and to me, that's not even the bigger issue presently. The fact is that Bell's office went into court and got an order removing him from office, you know, in the cover of darkness.
Before he was served.
He still hasn't been served.
I know,
served.
That is interesting.
And, oh yeah, it's really shaky. Like went
the
to, it was the case was assigned to one judge. They went to a different judge while the judge who had the case, you know, was in the office. They went to a different judge in family court and got that judge to sign an order that banned him from office. The bad thing about that was, the court has a form that says this is what a preliminary order in quo warranto says, where you really just basically order the respondent to answer within a certain time. They inserted the language that says you hereby are prevented from performing anything having to do with your office. So they doctored the court form.
Oh.
Okay. And so he didn't know, even though he works across the street, they didn't even attempt to call, nothing. So he got a lawyer and went to the judge who actually handled the case, and he reversed it and was like, this is ridiculous. I mean, you don't throw people out of office with no notice. Okay. You just, I mean, it violates fundamental due process. So the fact, the reason why that was done was there was an important vote at the county council that they wanted to send to the voters to vote on.
Tuesday afternoon, right?
On Tuesday afternoon. It was the last day that they could send it to the Board of Election Commissioners to put it on the ballot in November to allow the county council to have their own lawyer, because of situations like this where the county councilor colludes with Sam and whomever to, you know, mess with their own client. I mean, this, the county counselor's office under Sam Page has sued his own clients. I mean, he sued the council in the chair dispute. So they want their own lawyer. That's all this was. Well, he wanted to stop the vote. So that was why
well,
the timing.
Well, it didn't work because he's reinstated at least temporarily.
And
but where does that bring us right now, though?
So he has to answer. And then once he answers, I'm assuming they're going to have a hearing on whether this paperwork, whether they actually did hire her, whether what constitutes employment, because she was never paid.
But she wasn't like volunteering. I mean, like, I don't know too much about this situation.
Well, that's
when
she wrote an email to the director.
Hired, right? I mean, he admits that he hired her.
Yeah, he even admits it. That's where
I
understand.
He can't hire her.
Okay. I know that. That's why I said technicality. So maybe in the end,
and you know what?
That's
and that's all going to get washed out in a hearing,
right?
And a judge is going to decide. So,
but Jane, the language of the Constitution doesn't seem very vague. It seems relatively specific.
No, it's very similar to the Charter, where it says you shall not moonlight, basically.
Right.
And
okay, well, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But you know,
we're talking about the employment situation.
Yeah,
yeah. And, I mean, like, the language seems pretty clear that, like, you can't hire a relative. And people know that, right? Yeah.
Except
and,
you have
by
to
the
prove
way,
she was employed.
Even okay, that's fine. We're
yeah,
gonna,
and the
judge will
decide
that. But here's what I'd also say, and I said this to Dennis too. Look, to me, this is more of a I effed up than a I should be kicked out of office. Having said that, whether the Constitution says that you're not supposed to be nepotistic, is that a word? I'm just going to make it a word right now.
So.
I think common sense, is it really? Because I'm pretty impressed with myself there. Common sense would dictate that you wouldn't do that, shouldn't it?
I know. Just like, you know, Rochelle Walton Gray shouldn't have hired her nieces to work in the Department of Health. Just like the Director of Health shouldn't have hired her daughter.
But
how Sam isn't going to Wesley Bell asking for a quo. Isn't that funny?
I get that there's politics involved here, Jane. Okay.
Totally.
I accept that. But on the other hand, I don't know what the judge is going to have to rule.
The judge
here.
Is going to decide, and it will likely go to the Supreme Court.
Well, he's got to get served first. Due process has to be honored.
Yeah, well,
he
hasn't been served yet, so that's a shame.
It's an interesting situation because it came up kind of quickly. Let's kind of segue into the Sam Page volunteering at a hospital. Look, to give background, Dennis Hancock was the guy that a couple of weeks ago during a meeting raised that red flag again and asked in a very diplomatic, not an attack, asked Sam Page during that meeting whether or not he was doing more than volunteering. So what did we find out in answer to that this week?
No, all we know is that Sam's medical services were paid for by the taxpayers in the form of Medicaid dollars. He says that he never saw the money. But, I mean, the problem is, you know, SLU gives him an office. He has an office down at the hospital. I mean, people have asked. They were very vague about whether they're paying for his malpractice insurance. When he goes into an operating room, those services are billed. And they're in some cases, now we don't even know about the private insurance that paid for Sam Page's services, but we know what the taxpayers did. And so he said, I allowed them to file a claim in my name. And I'm like, well, wait a minute here. I mean, how is that not like Medicaid fraud? Hmm. You're not allowed to bill for reimbursement for services you didn't pay for. So, I mean, so now is SLU Hospital going to start billing Medicaid for candy stripers?
My question here would be, why is this even so complicated? Why does it keep coming up where we have questions about the guy that's supposed to be running St. Louis County government moonlighting? This is not a news story.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like it doesn't have to be a story like that. If I were him and I were in this situation, so I've got this repository of expertise that's really valuable. Like, they're like the highest paid physicians, anesthesiologists, you know, some of the highest paid, along with
the highest premium
surgeons, right? They make like, you know, $750,000 a year or more. So someone with that skill set is going interested in volunteering and, you know, filling a community need. I think it's great. I don't understand why he didn't go to the council and say, here's kind of what I'm doing.
Right.
And because I think, like, I wish that other public servants that had skill sets that were that valuable for the community would all give back, you know, once every couple weeks.
As long as the taxpayers aren't paying twice for the same time.
Yeah, which it sounds like, from what I understand and from what, you know, he has said on the record, like, you know, I'm not getting paid for this. They bill out because I'm, you know, he says he's supervising a team, which, since he's been doing this for 25 years, that makes sense to me. I think it could have been handled in a more probably upfront, transparent way.
Why not be proactive with this? Yeah.
Why not
this
just put out your tax return so people can just finally put to rest that you're not making a bunch of money?
It's been an issue for a long time now.
The voters passed a charter amendment to stop him. Okay? I mean, this idea that the taxpayers have to pay so that he can volunteer during business hours.
That it keeps coming up. By the way, going back to Dennis Hancock, and this is a Sam Page topic, let's say that the judge says that he's out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what's the next step? There would be a special election called?
Yep, special election.
So Sam Page doesn't get to appoint the person that would replace Dennis Hancock?
No.
Okay.
But I've heard Sam Page has already told people that he's going to appoint a prosecutor, and even if, by the charter, the county council says they have to confirm them. You know how they do it in the Senate.
Yeah.
He's going to appoint whoever he wants to be interim and ignore them anyway. So he's already basically
said... Well, that's kind of been the pattern of his administration.
Yeah, just break the law.
Are there names out there that people are kind of lobbying for, Jeff?
There are a few names. Jane may know a couple. I have a woman named Melissa Smith, no relation to me.
There's three Smiths.
There are three people named Smith.
Danielle Smith, Melissa Smith, and there's a third Smith.
Wow.
And yeah. I'm not related to any of them. As much as I like to have friends in prosecutor's offices for the last, you know, decade and a half, I'm not related to any of them, but Melissa Smith has run like the sex crimes unit. Mm-hmm. She's been a prosecutor for a couple decades, you know, and seems to be well regarded in that office. I don't know the other two Smiths, but Jane may have more to say.
Yeah,
about
I mean, they're both in the office. So they're all prosecutors.
They're all internal candidates.
And then Chelsea Draper. She was a former prosecutor, and she was interested. But I think, Sam, I've heard that he wants to appoint his chief of staff, Beth Orwick. So I think that's out there as well. So I guess we'll find out. And then I guess we'll have another battle if he tries to put someone in there interim. And, you know, then I guess we're going to be talking about that as well.
Is there anything after we push through this Labor Day weekend? And obviously we're coming up on the first debate in the presidential race. We're coming up on some of the first votes, you know, in a variety of states. But is there anything, Nick, that you're taking a look at here in Missouri, or is pretty much everything settled with the governor's race on down because of the primaries? Because it's going to be, obviously, I think there'll be a flurry of activity with ads, et cetera, in October leading up to November. But there's not a whole lot of competitive races, are there?
No, I think, you know, looking at the poll that came out from SLU, it's pretty clear that this is not going to be a competitive November when it comes to the statewide seats. You know, that you've got some Senate races, I think three, that may be competitive. You got a bunch of state House races. But to me, Amendment 3 is going to be, and that's the one, the abortion on demand, so to speak, that several states are dealing with. We're going to deal with it here. That's the one that, depending upon the money that is coming in, and the Democrats have a huge cash advantage right now, depending upon educating the voters on the time frame of when you can get an abortion, and the language is pretty clear, up until the point of birth. I think
the language is up until the point of viability.
No, it's up until the point of birth. Up until the point of birth. It's been very clear. It's the same exact language that's been tried time and time again from amendment and when I was in the House and I handled the heartbeat bill. And now even this past year, when there was an amendment on rape and incest, there was no drop dead date, so to speak, no pun intended. So I think that's the one that's probably going to be the most competitive to keep your eye on is Amendment 3.
Yeah, and I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier, and we talked about it off the air. I think that there's a pretty good chance that it's going to pass, especially because, Jeff, your estimation is what? They're going to be outspent 3-1, essentially?
At least.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened in other states, right? I mean, this is passed. I mean, Ohio, we can argue is that's not a purple state
but
anymore. It's a red state.
The state's even redder than Missouri. This is passed.
But this poll that came
Nebraska.
Out. This poll has been
Kansas,
the tightest
I'm
poll.
Sorry, Kentucky. Kansas, yeah.
Kentucky is even redder than Missouri, right. In typically, although they do have a Democrat
governor. Well, they have a
governor.
Democrat governor, yeah, right.
But this poll.
The presidential numbers in Kentucky, it's a redder state than here. And so states even more conservative than Missouri have passed these reproductive rights initiatives with language similar to the one that we're about to see.
And that means there's a lot of Republicans that are voting yes.
It does. It means there's a lot, you know, this has kind of been, I think, the overarching story of Missouri politics over the last 15 years or so, is that when people are presented with traditionally
policies.
Democratic policies, like raising the minimum wage or Medicaid expansion or this initiative, people have said, yeah, you know, we kind of like that, you know, and
bingo and marijuana.
Marijuana.
Yeah. But when presented with a Democratic versus Republican, people are choosing Republican in statewide races because the national Democratic brand is tarnished in Missouri. You disagree with that analysis, Nick?
Well, you know, I do think that education is key. And this poll came out and, you know, it was just a straight up and down question. Where do you stand on this? I think it was 54, 52%, which is the lowest number out of all those states that you mentioned that has actually passed it. And when you educate them on what's in it, you know, the transgender stuff, getting rid of partial birth abortion, getting rid of all of the pro-life initiatives that Democrats and Republicans have passed in the past 20, 30 years, then it goes down into the 40s. So that's where I think, depending upon the resources that are going to come in on the Republican side, on the pro-life side, this could go either way.
Well, and again, it depends on turnout and how many people are exhausted by all of this by the time they're supposed to vote in November. Hang in there. Go ahead, Jeff. Final point?
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with some Democrats that are like, this is going to be a boon for Democrats in statewide races. No. Because historically, kind of what it allows a lot of suburban moderates to do is vote for the repro thing they like and then still vote for a Republican who they like because they're fiscally conservative.
All right, hang in there. We got one more segment to go on the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. All right, it's a Friday Reardon Roundtable. One more segment to go. Jane Duker is here. She's going to hang out in the next hour. Former State Senator Jeff Smith and current State Senator Nick Schor. I like this. I didn't get to it earlier, but I thought I would share this with you here this afternoon. I think you guys will like it. Nick, I think you're going to like it more than these guys, but that's okay. All right, so here, this is something I saw on the X, formerly Twitter. We have an employee that we hired 3.5 years ago. She was given tasks but completed none of them. She just had a performance review and failed it. So she backstabbed her elderly supervisor. Now she is demanding a promotion in November, but refuses to interview for the new position. She promises that if she gets the promotion, she will do all the tasks she didn't do before, but she won't do them now in order to force us to give her the promotion.
Jane acts like we have no idea who this is.
What should we do? Sincerely, 360 million Americans. Yeah. That was pretty good. People have way too much time. Come on, Jane. That's
she loves
good.
The border roll now.
You got to give credit where credit is due.
Oh, I do, and I mean, it goes for both sides.
Jeff, is your whole party on board with the border wall now, or is it just Kamala? I'm confused by that particular aspect of her flip flopping.
Like,
we welcome you to secure borders. We welcome your party to that.
You can help build the wall with us.
Here's the deal.
I've been for it secure borders.
Let me just kind of say, it would be great for both parties every cycle if they didn't have to run in the primaries. Because the party that's closer to the median voter wins most of the time. So if you don't have to run to your wing for a primary, it is the biggest gift you can possibly
Absolutely.
Have. And so all she's doing now is taking the mostly positions that most Democrats have didn't have to run in a primary. It's a huge gift for her.
You Absolutely. Think that her positions that she's now claiming that she's for, those are the real positions. See, those we're very suspicious about that. I think it's the radical Kamala Harris, and I know it's the radical Tim Walz because he's not changing anything.
You should go back and look at her record as a DA in San Francisco.
I did.
She was reviled by the left.
Yes,
and
for being a prosecutor.
The whole thing was Kamala is a cop. Kamala is a cop in 2019.
Yep.
And so she tried to insulate herself against the left being furious at some of the positions she had taken because she had done one thing which really stood out and infuriated the left. She had prosecuted parents of truant kids, which infuriated the left, among other things that she had done. And so she was making a conscious effort in a time that Democrats were trending left on criminal justice issues to say,
but it's not only criminal justice issues. Okay, and we know that. So it's a lot of issues.
She took five or six positions that she has shed once or twice a week.
There are interviews back then where she was excoriated for claiming in her campaign material she prosecuted hundreds and hundreds of all of these violent felonies when she only did 50. Came out this when she was a prosecutor. And now she is continuing to prove to me and many voters that she is a liar. Look, we've had Mitt Romney, John McCain on our side, George W. Bush. There are plenty of liars, and that's one of the things that I actually like about Trump. Whether you like him or not, he tried his damnedest to build the wall. He tried his damnedest to get the everything settled in the Middle East when it came to peace deals.
You can't say that he doesn't lie. I mean, I hope you're not going there.
Republicans say that we have to be so precise with our language.
We have to be pure. Because it's all nonsense. Look,
the flip-flopping, though.
Welcome to politics. I mean, I just think this purity stuff, I think actually voters are like, we know it's all BS. I mean, that's bottom line.
Is anyone more untethered to positions than Trump?
No.
I mean, like, he's been all over the map on everything, which, fine.
Fine.
Like what?
Okay.
Like
abortion.
What?
He was pro-choice.
He's never been all over the place on abortion.
He was pro-choice.
He's always been pro-choice, but he's always said personally he's pro-choice, but he wants to send that back to the states as Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided.
He gave money to pro-choice Democrats. He was pro-choice. And that's fine. I don't even like fight about him going back to what he did.
He's not claiming that he's suddenly pro-life. He's even said he wouldn't sign a nationwide abortion ban, as he thinks that that is an issue that the state should decide.
Yeah.
But what other issue? I mean, I haven't seen him flip-flop
on these.
You're
just not going to convince me that either one of them are pinnacles of
truth. After Uvalde, he was for red flag laws. Okay, and then he went back on that. Look at the Lankford immigration bill. He was for everything that was in that until he realized that it would help Democrats to pass it, and then he was against it.
All right, hang on. I want to do one more segment here. Unfortunately, this is like the most sad subject, and we're going to have to suffer this through this for months. But I'm sure everyone in the room has seen the picture and the image from the Cardinals game yesterday, where basically there were three people in the stands. Jane, I liked your tweet, Jane. I believe there was some snark in that.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to explain what you said?
Well, I mean, you know, because somebody put out a tweet about, you know, I think it was one of the photographers for the Post-Dispatch had a picture of the dismal, you know, crowd.
Right. It was the national anthem yesterday.
Yeah,
there were very few people in the stadium.
I mean, so then you had all these people saying, oh, you know, it was a school night and it's hot out and people have jobs. And I'm sitting there going, well, everybody had time to go to Mizzou and it was just as hot
there. Right. Yes.
And so, I mean, I kind of did the snark tweet of, you know, well, it's your fault. Quit pointing it out. If you didn't point it out, we wouldn't have such small crowd sizes.
No, and I understood that. But here, and you're right about that because
you're the one. It's just like crime stats.
Here's what's happening.
About it, it'll be fine.
We all talk politics here. We just spent 45 minutes talking politics. This, to me, is an election that's occurring right now, and the fans are speaking.
Yes, they are.
With not going to the stadium. They're demanding change. We've suffered through some years that are very average, especially with high expectations for the Cardinals, but there's nobody at this point that can convince me that there's not going to be major changes, and I don't know what that's going to look like.
I feel like we're getting cronkied again. That's exactly what this feels like.
That's not fair at all. What are you talking about?
That's the rumor mill in Jeff City.
Their response seems to be, we're not going to make any changes. And I think fans...
I don't think we have that indication from the DeWitts at all. I really don't.
I mean, the fans seem to think so because they're not showing up.
Of course the fans seem to think so.
And they're giving away tickets
on StubHub.
Okay. I'm sorry, but there's something up. I mean, this organization is allowing... I can't imagine that they think that what's happening is a good idea. They're not taking care of the franchise, and people sense it, and it just feels very...
Well, here's the rumor mill. Somebody who came in, they allegedly work for the Cardinals organization in some way, shape, or form. And there were several legislators, in the room, and they said, look, they're going to come with a stadium bill in the next couple of years. However, they're going to sell the team at some point. I said, how do you know this? Well, just trust me, they're going to sell the team and they're not going to enter into any big contracts to bog down the new owners. So we're going to see them jump off of a cliff. And again, this is all rumor. I don't want to say it's a whistleblower, but someone came into the Capitol. And ever since then, we've kind of been seeing this through our very eyes.
The rumors have been out there about the DeWitts possibly selling. I have not seen anything to back that up. And by the way, if you're preparing for sale, I don't think you want to show your potential owners 26,000 people paid in the stadium, which is the lowest number that they've had in
a
long time.
There's a fine line without...
Yeah. I think this is the blowback
of not bogging down contracts.
Exactly.
And really, how far can you piss off the fans to devalue the franchise? And I think they're
trying to walk the line. Jane, I think it's a lot more complicated. Look, you have... Maybe. Potential superstars in the Cardinals organization, which have just flatlined. Not only the guy that was, look, I'm not trying to be an apologist for Mo, but let's face it. We had an MVP and a guy that was almost the MVP and Nolan Arenado and Goldschmidt that were two of the best players in baseball 2 years ago. And Paul Goldschmidt forgot to hit. We've got Victor Scott and we've got Jordan Walker, who are two of the most premier, potential players, but they're not there yet, and maybe they won't be there. There's questions about that. So this is not easy to win divisions or to win championships. They're a lot better than they were last year, but something's got to happen. And I think Mo's going to step away. I don't think he's going to be fired. He's done too much for the organization.
Well, he's up in 2025?
I think he steps away, and then I can't see Ali Marmol surviving this at all. I just can't. So we'll see what happens.
It is insulting to have Mike Schilt come in and,
Well, they split that season. They split that series with the Padres. Great to see you, Nick Schwarr.
Likewise.
All right, Jeff Smith. Thank you for being on time. See how generous I am?
You've been lovely, Mark.
Jane, you're going to hang out.
I am.
We're coming back with more. I mean, I hope you're not going there.
When you look at the promises on a political scale, Republicans say that we have to be so precise with our language.
We have to be pure. because it's all nonsense. Look,
the flip-flopping, though.
Welcome to politics. I mean, I just think this purity stuff, I think actually voters are like, we know it's all BS. I mean, that's bottom line.
Is anyone more untethered to positions than Trump?
No.
I mean, like, he's been all over the map on everything, which, fine.
Like what?
Okay.
Like
abortion.
What?
He was pro-choice.
He's never been all over the place on abortion.
He was pro-choice.
He's always been pro-choice. He's always said personally he's pro-choice, but he wants to send that back to the states as Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided.
Democrats. He gave money to pro-choice Democrats. He was pro-choice, and that's fine. I don't even like fight
and
about him
not,
going back to what
he's not claiming that he's suddenly pro-life. He's even said he wouldn't sign a nationwide abortion ban, as he thinks that is an issue that the state should decide.
Yeah.
But I mean, what other issue? I mean, I haven't seen him flip-flop
on. You're just not
going
to convince me that either one of them are pinnacles of
after
truth.
After Uvalde, he was for red flag laws. Okay? And then he went back on that. Look at the Lankford immigration bill. He was for everything that was in that until he realized that it would help Democrats to pass it, and then he was against it.
All right, I want to do one more segment here. Unfortunately, this is like the most sad subject, and we're going to have to suffer this through this for months, but I'm sure everyone in the room has seen the picture and the image from the Cardinals game yesterday where basically there were three people in the stands. Jane, I liked your tweet, Jane. I believe there was some snark in that.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to explain what you said?
Well, I mean, you know, because somebody put out a tweet about, you know, I think it was one of the photographers for the Post-Dispatch had a picture of the dismal crowd.
Right. Ray was the national anthem yesterday.
Yeah,
there were very few people in the stadium.
I mean, so then you had all these people saying, oh, you know, it was a school night and it's hot out and people have jobs. And I'm sitting there going, well, everybody had time to go to Mizzou and it was just as hot
there. Right. Yes.
And so, I mean, I kind of did the snark tweet of, you know, well, it's your fault. Quit pointing it out. If you didn't point it out, we wouldn't have such small crowd sizes.
No, and I understood that. But here, and you're right about that because
you're the one. It's just like crime stage.
Here's what's happening.
About it, it'll be fine.
We all talk politics here. We just spent 45 minutes talking politics. This, to me, is an election that's occurring right now, and the fans are speaking.
Yes, they are.
With not going to the stadium. They're demanding change. We've suffered through some years that are very average, especially with high expectations for the Cardinals, but there's nobody at this point that can convince me that there's not going to be major changes, and I don't know what that's going to look like.
I feel like we're getting cronkied again. That's exactly what this feels like.
That's not fair at all. What are you talking about?
That's the rumor mill in Jeff City.
Their response seems to be, we're not going to make any changes. And I think fans...
I don't think we have that indication from the DeWitts at all. I really don't.
I mean, the fans seem to think so because they're not showing up.
Of course the fans seem to think so.
And they're giving away tickets
on StubHub.
Okay. I'm sorry, but there's something up. I mean, this organization is allowing... I can't imagine that they think that what's happening is a good idea. They're not taking care of the franchise, and people sense it, and it just feels very...
Well, here's the rumor mill. Somebody who came in, they allegedly work for the Cardinals organization in some way, shape, or form. And there were several legislators, you know, in the room. And they said, look, they're going to come with a stadium bill in the next couple years. However, they're going to sell the team at some point. I said, how do you know this? Well, just trust me, they're going to sell the team and they're not going to enter into any big contracts to bog down the new owners. So we're going to see them jump off of a cliff. And again, this is all rumor. I don't want to say it's a whistleblower, but someone came into the Capitol. And ever since then, we've kind of been seeing this through our very eyes.
The rumors have been out there about the DeWitts possibly selling. I have not seen anything to back that up. And by the way, if you're preparing for sale, I don't think you want to show your potential owners 26,000 people paid in the stadium, which is the lowest number that they've had in
a
long time.
There's a fine line without...
Yeah. I think this is the blowback
of not bogging down contracts.
Exactly.
And really, how far can you piss off the fans to devalue the franchise? And I think they're
trying to walk the line. Jane, I think it's a lot more complicated. Look, you have... Maybe. Potential superstars in the Cardinals organization, which have just flatlined. Not only the guy that was, you know, look, I'm not trying to be an apologist for Mo, but let's face it. We had an MVP and a guy that was almost the MVP and Nolan Arenado and Goldschmidt. They were two of the best players in baseball 2 years ago. And Paul Goldschmidt forgot to hit. We've got Victor Scott and we've got Jordan Walker, who are two of the most premier, you know, potential players, but they're not there yet, and maybe they won't be there. There's questions about that. So this is not easy to win divisions or to win championships. They're a lot better than they were last year, but something's got to happen. And I think Mo's going to step away. I don't think he's going to be fired. He's done too much for the organization.
Well, he's up in 2025?
I think he steps away, and then I can't see Ollie Marmol surviving this at all. I just can't. So we'll see what happens.
It is insulting to have Mike Schilt come in and, you know,
Well, they split that season. They split that series with the Padres. Great to see you, Nick Schwarber.
Likewise.
All right, Jeff Smith. Thank you for being on time. See how generous I am?
You've been lovely, Mark.
Jane, you're going to hang out.
I am.
We're coming back with more.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.